You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The Drive at 5, the stories driving today's headlines. Brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. When disaster strikes, demand the yellow van. On 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, so in the, definitely in the news, because there was the big event at Carnegie Mellon, this wall has come under heavy, heavy criticism by some, seemingly now by everybody. Seems like everybody's mad now. Now, it's a First Amendment or free speech wall where people had routinely for years and years and years painted messages, and then somebody else can go paint another message. And, well, apparently that is temporarily on hold by the administration. Let me welcome in right now Ross Marchand. Is it Marchand or Marchand, Ross?
Marchand.
Ross Marchand. Well, thank you so very much. Ross is the Program Counsel for Policy Reform for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, FIRE for short. And, you know, I don't know if I have this right, but in an effort to do the right thing, it seems like Carnegie Mellon has made everybody mad, Ross.
I think that's right. And the most important thing to keep in mind is this fence where students can paint, this is supposed to be an area where if students want to express themselves, they're able to. And it's been that way for more than 100 years. And then in one fell swoop, university leadership comes in and says, oh, never mind, the speech is too hurtful. We're going to shut down the whole operation and we're going to paint over speech that we don't like.
Now, in fairness to Carnegie Mellon, it's private property. They can do what they want, correct?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, here's the thing about private universities. If private universities promise free speech to their students and faculty, then these students, they have a reasonable expectation that their free speech rights will be honored. So in those cases, we are going to hold them to their word that they are going to protect the freedom of speech. Now, Carnegie Mellon does promise students freedom of speech. So yeah, we're going to hold them to it.
Ross Marchand, Program Counsel, Policy Reform for FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Who, I don't want to say necessarily aside, but who exactly would you represent, or who came to you, or maybe would both sides come to you, both Democrats, Republicans, both people who represent interests in Palestine and those who are opposed to it? Who exactly would come to you?
Everyone comes to us, because there always comes a point where, you know, you name the side on any given issue, their free speech rights, it is inevitable they will be jeopardized, whether it's the pro-Israel side, the pro-Palestinian side, the pro-Trump side, the anti-Trump side. There will come a point inevitably, we've seen this time and time again, where they will come to us and say, hey, our free speech is being jeopardized. And we don't take a side. We don't take the pro-Israel side or the pro-Palestine side. We take the side of the freedom of expression. So we try to be a friend to all when their free speech rights are under threat.
Now, Carnegie Mellon President Farnum Jahanian is a very intelligent man. Would his best bet right now just be to open it back up, barring any sense of violence or it being a safety risk?
I think that he needs to communicate properly with his campus community and say, look, we made a mistake by shutting this fence down. And historically, what made the fence such an important part of campus life is you could say what you want and you could paint what you want on the fence, and we're going to continue to abide by that, and we're going to respect these ideas of freedom of speech. Reopen it and let students express themselves.
Do you feel like it was an outlet to where maybe tensions, when bottled up, become more dangerous than tensions that are able to be relayed to each other, even if they're offsetting tensions or ones that are opposed to each other?
Yeah, and we see all the time, tensions are running high. It's very easy to overreact and make a wrong decision and just shut down speech that rubs people the wrong way. This is exactly what you're seeing here. So you could see in Dr. Dahanian's email from Wednesday to the camp's community, you can tell it's very, you know, laden with emotion. And he says, look, I don't like the state of expression. It's become too pointed, too personal, too hurtful. And look, I mean, I can understand his frustration with that, but you can't just shut down speech that you disagree with or find to be too pointed.
Ross Marchand, Program Counsel, Policy Reform, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, that's FIRE for short, and you're an expert in stuff like this. Now, answer me this. What did you and what did we as a society maybe learn from places like Columbia and UCLA?
I think what we learned is, now, as we were just talking about, when passions run high, it's very easy to overreact and to fold under pressure and say, hey, look, we're not going to respect the freedom of speech. And especially when you have, for example, the federal government and state governments weighing down on you, it's especially easy to fold under pressure. But I think now it's more important than ever to remember these principles of free speech and free expression, how important they are, and double down and defend these rights.
Are you... I don't want to say more surprised. Let me think of the words here. Does it go in line and fall in line with the community of a more learned place like a Carnegie Mellon, where traditionally, or you look at a place like Berkeley or somewhere like that, where there is a saturation of, for lack of a better term, smarter people, that you have situations like this? Or are you surprised that a president of a place like Carnegie Mellon thinks he can do this to a learned community?
To be honest with you, I see this impulse to control speech all over the place. I see it in community colleges. I see it in the Carnegie Mellons of the world and everywhere in between. I think that when people get riled up, they let emotions sometimes get the best of them. They're understandably frustrated, the breakdown of dialogue in our society, and they want to overreact. And I don't think that being learned necessarily has to do with it, or the status or tier of the college or university. We see it all over the place, and we deal with a very wide variety of cases across the country.
What if President Dahanian would call you, and this is a for instance, a what if, call you or a contemporary or someone like you and say, hey, look, I had to shut this down because I was fearful of people's physical safety. What would you say to that?
I would say, look, I understand that you have a very important interest in maintaining campus safety, and the best way to ensure campus safety is by communicating more and establishing the expectations up front. And this is protected expression that you are allowed to paint on the fence. And it's setting reasonable, for example, time restrictions when you're allowed to paint, when you're not allowed to paint. The more communication, the better. And I think that if administrators just communicated more consistently, just kind of like laid the groundwork, it would lead to a safer environment and an environment that was more conducive to the freedom of speech.
Is the next move maybe a meeting, maybe grabbing all sides or the identifiable sides that are, diametrically opposed to each other and saying, hey, let's all get in a room and talk about this. And for lack of a better way to put it, I'm going to open this fence back up. Everybody behave. Let's go. Is that maybe, in layman's terms, the best way to go about this moving forward?
I think so. Yeah, and just a lot of dialogue with university leadership. FIRE is all about, hey, let's come together and talk this out. And yeah, we find that repeatedly, this is a very good and simple solution.
And last thing for you before I let you go, how many people in your life do you deal with who think they know a lot about the First Amendment but really don't?
There's just a lot of misunderstandings and questions. And you know, sometimes it's just as simple as, is the government prevented from doing this? Can people say this? Can't they say this? And I find that just like the more you talk about it and the more you say like, oh, this case said that, people find it endlessly interesting. And, you know, you learn a lot just by kind of like laying down the basics of the freedom of speech. It's a fascinating subject area.
Certainly is. I appreciate you bringing some light to this. I appreciate you enlightening me and kind of advancing this topic, because I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, Don at Carnegie Mellon. Ross, I appreciate your help today, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. You know, I do think a good, healthy dialogue would work, or at least try to work at Carnegie Mellon with this fence. But then again, I go back onto it, and he answered that question to kind of start. If Carnegie Mellon wants to shut it down on their property, they kind of have the right to do it. But is that the wisest move? Man, what an interesting thing. It just is.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.